Radio Prague News.
Police have busted the biggest Czech pot-growing operation to date. A group of young Romanis has launched a crisis response project to help improve the public image of Romanis in the Czech Republic. And according to a fresh poll, the percentage of Czechs who speak a foreign language is well below the EU average. Police have busted the biggest pot-growing operation to date in the Czech Republic near the western Bohemian city of Karlovy Vary and freed a man who was being held captive inside the grow op to tend to the plants. It appears that the group treated the man who was sealed in like a slave. He was glad to have been freed, a police spokesperson said on Thursday. Police arrested 13 suspects in connection with the case, which they investigated over a time span of several months. Over 5,500 pot plants were confiscated. They would have yielded a total of 500 kilograms of marijuana with a retail value of some 40 million Czech crowns. The suspects face prison sentences of up to 12 years if found guilty. A group of young Romanis has launched a crisis response project to help improve the public image of Romanis living in the Czech Republic and help ease tensions that have been building in Czech society. The group is hoping to cooperate with local and national state institutions. According to one of the members, David Tischer, some 160 young Romanis have joined the group so far. He added that the impulse to found the initiative had come from an incident that happened in Slovakia on the weekend. A police officer shot three Romanis and injured two others. Czech Romanis are also the target of violence, he added. According to a new survey by the European Commission's Eurobarometer, only 49% of Czechs speak at least one foreign language, a score that puts the country below the EU average of 54%. The fresh poll found that the Czech Republic in this regard ranks only 19th among the 27 countries compared in the survey. In addition, the percentage of those Czechs who are able to speak one or more foreign languages has dropped. In 2005, some 51% of Czechs said they spoke at least two languages. The poll also found that Czechs are well aware of the advantages of mastering a foreign language. 98% said that they considered learning them something that would put their children at an advantage. The captain of the Czech national team, Tomáš Rosický, will not be in the starting lineup of Thursday's quarterfinals match against Portugal. The manager of the Czech team, Vladimír Šmice, told Czech TV that the team captain may join the team at a later point in the quarterfinals game, but that he is still fighting an Achilles heel infection. Šmice, a former successful midfielder for Slavia Prague and Liverpool FC, has not released any further details regarding the starting lineup. Mr. Rosický last Sunday traveled to Prague for treatment. On Tuesday, he returned to Poland and trained with his teammates on Wednesday. Some 20,000 Czech fans are expected to travel to Warsaw for their team's quarterfinal match against Portugal on Thursday evening. Fans left the cities of Prague and Brno on special fan buses on Thursday, as well as hundreds of supporters traveling to Poland by train. In Warsaw, they will be greeted with Czech language signs, city officials have said. However, it is expected that the fan turnout at the Warsaw match will be lower than it was during the group phase games in Wroclaw, which is easier to reach from the Czech Republic. And now let's take a brief look at the weather. The coming days will bring mostly cloudy conditions with some rain and thunderstorms expected. Daytime highs should range between 22 and 26 degrees Celsius. My name is Sarah Borivka, and that brings us to the end of the news.
Hello and welcome to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. My name is Christian Falvey. Many thanks for tuning in. Today, the second annual Week of Freedom celebrates democracy in the Czech Republic and shared democratic values. After that, police bust the largest marijuana growing operation ever discovered in the country. And later on in this week's panorama, we meet American organ player Joan D.V. Dixon, who performed at this year's American Spring Music Festival in Prague. I hope you'll be staying with us today for all that and more here on Radio Prague. The Week of Freedom, a project established in Prague last year on the 20th anniversary of the withdrawal of Russian troops from Czechoslovakia, is both a celebration of the return of democracy to the Czech lands and a means of highlighting common values. This year's event centers around freedom of speech and has been dominated by support for the jailed members of the Russian feminist punk band Pussy Riot. Daniela Lazarova has more.
The main symbol of last year's Week of Freedom was a pink tank installed on a floating pontoon on the Vltava River. This year it is the Pussy Riot Wall on Prague's Wenceslas Square. Inspired by the John Lennon Wall, which served as a wailing wall during the communist years, the Pussy Riot Wall was an open invitation for people to come and write messages in support of the three members of Pussy Riot who were jailed after storming the Christ the Saviour Cathedral in Moscow and performing a punk prayer asking the Virgin Mary to chase away Vladimir Putin. Among the first Czechs to come and write a message on the wall was Foreign Minister Karel Schwarzenberg, who wrote, "I admire you greatly. Hold on. Russia will regain its dignity and freedom. We're with you." Throughout the week, the Pussy Riot Wall has been filling up with hundreds of messages in support of the group, written both by Czechs and foreign visitors to Prague. On Tuesday, two alleged members of Pussy Riot threw hundreds of flyers informing about reprisals and suppression of freedoms under the rule of President Vladimir Putin from a building in the city centre. Marek Wotzel, a leading member of the non-governmental, non-profit organisation Opona, which established the Week of Freedom project last year, explains that the messages on the wall will not disappear when it is dismantled.
The messages people have left here will be documented by a photographer, and there will be pictures of all of the events throughout the week, which will be printed on postcards and sold at the United Islands Festival, which will wind up the Week of Freedom. That way you can send your message of support to Russia, to the country's politicians, or to the jailed members of Pussy Riot.
Public debates are an indelible part of the Week of Freedom, and this year Opona situated them in a most natural environment, in 12 of the city's most popular coffee houses. Marek Wotzel again.
Coffee houses and pubs everywhere tend to have a regular clientele, people who meet there and discuss topics of the day. They comment on what's happening at home and abroad, and we thought it would be a good idea to give the debates a certain direction and fresh impetus by bringing in 36 well-known personalities who would join in a debate on freedom of speech and democracy. We're hoping that such debates could become a tradition and take place in other cities as well.
The debates are recorded, and Opona says selected politicians will be sent copies.
Many thanks to Daniela Lazarova. This is Radio Prague. Czech police have busted the largest marijuana growing operation ever discovered in the country. Last month, officers from the National Anti-Drug Unit found nearly 6,000 cannabis plants at four different sites in western Bohemia and arrested 13 members of a Czech-Vietnamese gang, the police said on Thursday. The police also detained a Vietnamese man who was walled in at one of the facilities and forced to care for the plants. Jan Richter has the details.
The anti-drug unit of the Czech police launched the codenamed Operation Dukla in late May after several months of investigation. They discovered four large-scale grow operations at different locations of the Karlovy Vary and Ústí regions in the west of the country. The police arrested 13 members of a Czech-Vietnamese gang running the operation and secured 5,800 cannabis plants, which could produce up to 500 kilos of marijuana, with a street value of 40 million crowns, or nearly $2 million. The police said they were surprised by how well the buildings were secured, as well as by the fact that they were not connected to the power grid. Sudden surges in electricity consumption often give away large-scale marijuana grow-ups, which is why the gang used diesel generators to produce power. Milan Hammer is the spokesman of the National Anti-Drug Central, a police unit dedicated to fighting illicit drugs.
As part of our operation, we have arrested 13 people, 7 Czechs and 6 Vietnamese nationals. The plantation had 5,800 marijuana plants. What's interesting is that the operation was only running at half of its capacity because the gang was waiting for new generators to be delivered from China to produce electricity.
Last year, the Czech police discovered 165 illegal marijuana plantations and confiscated over 440 kilos of the drug, less than they discovered in this single operation. The authorities say the illegal marijuana business is increasingly run by members of the Vietnamese community, but in this case the gang was headed by two Czechs who scouted for suitable locations, were in charge of distribution and controlled the money. They were also trying to establish a channel to the large German market, according to the investigators. In one of the facilities, the police also found a Vietnamese national whom the gang apparently sealed in, forcing him to take care of the plants.
We found one of the growers, a Vietnamese man, walled in at one of the growth plants. He was getting food and drink through a shaft, and there was no way he could leave the premises.
The anti-drug police unit spokesman added that the man was quite happy at having been discovered by the police. 12 out of the 13 members of the gang have been placed in police custody pending trial. If convicted, they face up to 12 years in prison.
Jan Richter there. If you're just tuning in, then thank you for joining us. You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Christian Falvey. And coming up, this week's edition of Panorama, prepared by Daniela Lazarova.
Joan D.V. Dixon, pianist, organist, composer, and professor of music at Frostburg State University in Maryland, was one of the star performers at this year's American Spring Music Festival organized by the International Dvořák Society. Joan, five-time recipient of the prestigious Individual Artist Award from the Maryland State Arts Council, is a prized musician who gives concert tours the world over. But despite a packed schedule, she has returned over and over to the Czech Republic. Earlier this week, she came to the studio to talk about her music, her special affinity to this country, and her plans for the future. Like many famous musicians, her love of music manifested itself at an early age.
When I was very young, my father bought a piano for my mom for a Christmas present. And I just kind of moved in and started playing it.
And you got a teacher soon, I suppose.
Yeah, my mom taught me a couple pieces, and they had a very difficult time getting a teacher for me because I was so young. I was maybe about 4.5, 5. And at that time, it was not very common for teachers to take students until they were 9 or 10. And they finally convinced one teacher to take me and just said, "It's our money. Will you please take her for a year? And if it doesn't work out, we won't blame you."
And it worked.
And it worked.
And when did you not switch to the organ, but also start playing the organ? How did that come about?
When I was a teenager, maybe 14, 15, I had confirmation classes at my church. And I had to stay in the evenings because my parents both worked, and it was a couple hours afterwards before they could pick me up. And I started sneaking upstairs and playing the organ without anybody knowing about it.
Which composers did you start out playing?
I would say that probably the American literature, you know, Copland and Barber and things like that. Once I reached a point where I was able to pick things for myself. But I've always had an interest in just playing fun things, and I've always played sacred music, and I've always played for church, and I've done classical and sacred. So it's always been a mix of many different things.
When did you find Czech composers?
I was really introduced to Czech through Spillville, Iowa. And it's quite a funny story because I really wanted to play a concert in Spillville. And I had contacted them, and I actually was introduced to the organist when I was on a bicycle ride. I was riding through Spillville, and I sent her some CDs, and I was trying to arrange a concert, and we were having a very difficult time setting it up. And I finally asked for an appointment to meet with them. And when I met with them, it turned out their concern was that I might come to Spillville and not agree to play a polka. And so I said, "Well, you know, I've never played a polka on the organ, but I'm sure it could be done, and I'd be happy to give it a try."
So how did the concert turn out?
Oh, it was a great success. So I've been there every year since.
You said that they helped introduce you to Czech composers. Where did that take you from there?
They introduced me to Radoslav Kvapil, and he invited me to come to the American Spring Festival. And each year that I've been here, I've gone to music stores and wherever else I can find music and look things up. And I always go back to the United States with a suitcase full of music, of Czech music that I can try out.
And it was thanks to you that you helped uncover some long-lost music by Dvořák's teacher, Antonín Lehmann.
Yes, I was at the museum in Slonice, and at the time I was working on a mass for Spillville, and I was very interested in polkas. And I was taking a tour of the museum, and I saw this manuscript of a polka. And I started asking many questions about it. And finally, Jan Tuma, the director of the museum, said, "Would you like a copy?" And I said, "Yes." And he made me a copy of the piece.
So in the end, you ended up playing Lehmann in Spillville. But I understand that you also played a mass, that you composed a mass of your own.
Yes.
For Spillville. Can you tell me about that?
Yes, Spillville, St. Wenceslas Church in Spillville is the oldest Czech Catholic church in the United States. And their 150th anniversary was in 2010. And in 2007 or 2008, they asked me to compose a new mass for the anniversary of their church. And so it was a 2 or 3 year project. And but the final mass was done for the anniversary celebration in 2010. And it's been done every year since.
How do you go about composing a mass for a special purpose?
It was a lot of work. The Catholic Church in the United States has a very strict liturgy, and you must use the exact words. You cannot change a period. You cannot change a comma. You cannot change anything. And so it makes it much more difficult to compose the music because you must follow the structure of the text. But I knew that I wanted the music to be Czech in nature. And so there's actually a couple settings and a couple pieces that are polkas, which has been rather controversial. But for me, some of the pieces of the mass, this is not appropriate for. I mean, obviously, the Agnus Dei, I would never, ever set as a polka. I mean, something inside of me would never do that. But for example, the Gloria, I really have no problem with this at all. I think it's celebratory and joyful, and I think if the music's upbeat, this is very appropriate for this sort of a piece.
Was it a success with the Czechs in Spillville?
Yes, and not only in Spillville, the mass has been done in Maryland and Iowa and Wisconsin and New Hampshire.
When you say you wanted it to be Czech in nature, what do you see as being Czech in nature and music?
One of the first things I did was I got a hold of a Czech hymnal and just started playing Czech hymns. And then I got a hold of a bunch of music of Czech folk songs and just started playing folk songs. And then as many polkas as I could get my hands on. And I just played and played and played Czech music and just tried to kind of internalize it. And I did reference a few pieces. There are some pieces that, if you're Czech, when you hear this mass, you would know what the origin of the piece was. I didn't use it. Most things I didn't use purely or exactly, but I think you would tell that there is some influence.
You say that you mainly play American and Czech music when you play. Why is it Czech music? You've traveled around the world. You've performed the world over. You must know different music from different countries. Why was it that you chose Czech music? What made it close to your heart?
I don't know. I think it's probably something I was just born with. I know that my parents always used to go out dancing on Saturday night. They would go out, and many of my cousins played accordions and polka bands. And whenever there was a wedding, there was always a polka band there, and we always had bohemian music playing. And so it's something I grew up hearing. It's part of my family tradition, I think. And it's something that seems to work very well for me. It seems to be very natural.
Even though you have no Czech roots? that you know about?
That I know about, but I don't know. I'm beginning to wonder more and more because as I get to know people more and more, I go back and I meet my father and I think, you know, I really think he's Czech.
Has coming to this country and getting familiar with it and seeing the nature and the people, and has it helped you in interpreting Czech music or in understanding Czech music?
I've been very lucky because I'm very good friends with some professional Czech musicians, especially Alica Fiedlerová, the pianist here in Prague, and Hanna Bartošová, the organist in Brno. And I've worked very closely with both of them. And some things in terms of interpretation are just passed on from teacher to student and teacher to student. And it's very important, I think, that you have the opportunity to play for another Czech musician and have their input.
Have you played with a Czech band, for instance, if in playing the piano or a Czech ensemble or Czech musicians apart from Alica, whom you play four hands with very often?
Well, I've heard the Prague Castle Band several times. They always play for the festival. And, in fact, I went to their Prague Spring concert this year. And it was really terrific. They're just a great group.
So can you tell me, what are your plans for the future? When are you coming back to the Czech Republic again? And is there anything that you aim to do or would like to do in this country or with Czech music?
Yes, I'm very lucky. I have a sabbatical from my university this year. So I have 1 year for research. And the proposal that I gave to my university was to spend a good amount of this year in Prague. And I will be working on the Lehman manuscripts along with the museum, through the museum in Slonice, and hoping to secure a publisher for those pieces because they really deserve to be in the public eye and to be available to people because they're really wonderful, wonderful pieces. And then I'm going to work on my Czech, hopefully, and do some composing and writing.
Are you hoping that your time here next year, that it will also give you inspiration for your own composing?
Yes, I'm sure it will. It always does. One of the things that's very interesting, I typically arrange American spirituals. I do a lot of spiritual arrangements for organ. And it's always fun, the feedback I get. And I always bring a different set each year, which is a little bit challenging because it means I need to write new arrangements every year, which sometimes I'm finishing as I'm getting on the airplane. But it's always fun to come over and try them out and play them from different audiences and get the reaction because they really love it.
That was American organist Joan D.V. Dixon talking there to Daniela Lazarova for that edition of Panorama. Topping off our show now for today is the next edition of our language learning series, The ABCs of Czech, brought to you by Pavla Horáková.
Hello and welcome to The ABC of Czech, where this season we look at vocabulary related to Czech cuisine. Today I'm joined by
Jan Wellinger,
and we'll be talking about spices and herbs, an essential part of every national cuisine. The Czech word for spices is
koření,
coming from the word
kořen,
meaning root, unlike the English word, which comes from the Latin species, meaning a type or kind. Spices, imported from faraway countries, used to be so rare in the past that they were sometimes used instead of money. Some proverbs in Czech still remind us of their one-time value. For example,
je toho jako šafránu.
It is as rare as saffron. Anything that is precious and scarce can be called
vzácné koření,
precious spice. And Czechs often say
humor je koření života.
Humor is the spice of life. The most widely used spice is pepper.
Pepř.
The most usual being ground black pepper.
Mletý černý pepř.
Marjoram,
majoránka,
has a special place in Czech cuisine. It is used to flavour all those various pork sausages and soups prepared at pig slaughtering feasts. Marjoram is also the dominant taste of potato soup.
Bramborová polévka.
Also known as
bramboračka.
And mushroom soup.
Hubová polévka.
And of course,
bramborák.
The potato pancake we spoke about in one of our earlier lessons. Another type of spice typical for Czech cuisine are caraway seeds.
Kmín.
They are added to dark bread dough and whole loaves are sprinkled with them. A few seeds can be added to the water in which potatoes are boiled. Roast duck and even fish can be sprinkled with them. But if, like me, you don't find the taste of caraway seeds pleasant, your meal will get cold before you pick out all the seeds from your plate. As far as herbs,
bylinky,
are concerned, traditional Czech cuisine mostly uses fresh parsley leaves,
petržel,
chives,
bažitka,
and
libeček,
garden lovage. They are used to garnish soups, or you can sprinkle them over a slice of bread spread with fresh cheese. And that's it for today. Thanks for listening, and till next time.
Dobrou chuť.
Bon appétit.
That was Pavla Horáková with the ABCs of Czech, wrapping up Radio Prague's English program for today. Don't forget that this program and every other is available at our internet address, radio.cz. If you have any questions or comments, we are always happy to hear from you. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz, on Facebook or Twitter under Radio Prague, or, of course, by post to Vinohradská 12, 12099 Prague. From me, Christian Falvey, thanks for listening.